Our Father, we bow before you, Lord, and we thank you for songs that are written from those who really knows what heaven's about because of the Word of God. Tunes that have been put together with words that we can sing from the depth of our soul and sing about things angels know nothing about. Been born into the family of God. We thank you for this book that you preserved for our day, that we may know the truth. God has not left us ignorant concerning the things that he's done and is doing and will do in the age of grace, yes, even in 2010. Now I pray you take this frail body, use it today, help us exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, when we leave this place, may it be said that we know something to do better when we leave for you and your glory than when we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4. And kind of bring you up to my verses. I'm going to be reading 8 through 12. Peter and John's gone into the temple for the time of prayer. He meets a man that's been there, taken every day and laid at the gate of the step somewhere there daily at the temple. And Peter and John comes by. He asks for alms. They said they had to carry him there. He'd been this way since birth. They had to carry him there. And somewhere time in the years past, they were taking him there for the purpose to ask him for help, getting money or some type of monetary stuff for living. This day, Peter and John goes, but they have no money, they say, but they gave him something money can't buy. Aren't you glad God has some things that money can't buy? That's all there is to it. And you know the story. He was able to walk. He leaped and jumped all over the place. And of course, the Sanhedrin court now is very upset. The first persecution is taking place in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. The Sadducees are very upset because verse 2 says that they've been preaching that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so now they're trying their best to shut up the message like Satan's tried to do ever since Christ came. And like he tried to keep Christ from coming before he did come. I'm glad when God said, greater is he that's in you than in this world. You can count on that. He has more power than Satan has. And so here we come down to Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin court. And Peter is fixing to stand up, been filled in verse 8 with the Holy Ghost. Said unto them. Now, I like that. I thought back as I was studying this weeks in the past and even earlier this morning, if I've ever been really full of the Holy Ghost. I think I've been close. I don't know what being completely full is. I have him. Amen. I know what is to have him. But to really be full of the Holy Ghost, maybe I didn't know it, but then again, I don't think I could have it that way and not know it. But I'll tell you this, I've been fairly close, completely full. Amen. I'm about to get there now, amen. But here he's full of the Holy Ghost. You mark it down. If the Holy Spirit said he was full of the Holy Ghost, he's full of it. And it's in the record. And he said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you. I'll tell you one thing, being full of the Holy Ghost will give you boldness to preach Jesus Christ no matter where you're at. Amen. And here we see him having that boldness. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And there's no doubt of who he's talking about. Did you know that? There's no doubt. Peter covered about everything that needed to be covered about who this one was that came, and in the power of his name, this man stood there fully whole. Now watch this. In verse 11, he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He goes back in Exodus, Moses, and other, and he said, this is the stone that you set at naught. Yeah. And not means you didn't think it's any good. You didn't think it's worth anything. Kind of threw it to the side. But he said, this stone has become the headstone. Amen. The chief cornerstone. Yeah. You can't build the rest of the house without a chief cornerstone. I can't build much, but I can tell you this. You got to have a chief cornerstone. Amen. You got to have somewhere to start. And they said, you throw it to the side, it's been nothing. And yet he's become the head. Become the head. And then I liked, he says, just to show you who he is, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby, or whereby we must be given among men, whereby we must be saved. Let me read again. Neither salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Not option. God says it's a must. We must be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that rules out any other way. Do you know that? That rules out any other person that you could name in history that has in the past or live in today, that ever will live, there'll never be another person who has the power to do what Jesus Christ has the power to do. And I want you to know that. I want to speak to you this morning on no other name. No other name. Now, names are very important. Somebody named you. You didn't name yourself. If you did, you changed your name. Right? And names are given because it's important. Now, people give their names after their uncles and aunts and mothers and dads and put juniors on some of that, you know, and they don't have no real reason. They just like the family, like the sound of the name. Some people do research and say, this names mean this, and this child now kind of reminds me of this. And so they give a name based on some type of characteristics of that particular child. They look up a name. Names are very important. I read out in Arizona, there was an Indian chief out there. And he went to a judge and he said, Judge, me want my name changed. And he said, well, why do you want your name changed? He said, because I want to change it. Some. He said, well, by the way, what is your name? He said, Judge, my name is Chief Screeching Train Whistle. And the judge chuckled and he said, if I had a name like that, I think I'd do it too, Mr. Whistle. He said, what do you want your name changed to? He said, me want it name changed to Toot Toot. It's shorter. Amen. Well, we know this. Jesus is the only name that people take in vain. Do you know that? When it comes to God. Now, I'm talking about as the Godhead. We know God's name's taken in vain. In other words, his name and God's name is the only one that people swear by. Isn't it an amazing thing? The most beautiful name that's ever been written in the universe is God's name. And yet people use it to swear by. And think nothing of it. Think nothing of it. The only name that stirs up hate and venom is the name of Jesus Christ to those who reject him. And yet on the other hand, the only name that produces love in the hearts who speak it are those who respond to him and believe in him. Isn't it amazing what that name will do? If you respond and believe in him, then you will find love coming to your heart, not only from God, but from you to others. But if you reject that name, you'll find it'll come to you in a way that spreads venom and hate. Jesus is the only name that can save us. Preacher, I don't know about that, but you need to read Acts 4:12 again. Because that's what it says. There absolutely is no other name given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, Britt Hume of Fox News spoke that name in recommendation to Tiger Woods, offering a faith that forgives when he did that. And it caused chaos for him. In other words, he's saying that if he turned to Jesus Christ, it's the only religion in the world that forgives. The rest of them, you have to do penance. You have to do something for that forgiveness or you never get it. Thank God that I understand when it comes to God, what can we do that where he'd forgive us in our own energy? There is nothing we can do. We must trust the one who did it. And God said, I'm well pleased with, you see. This was a personal recommendation given because Britt was asked for his personal opinion. And his answer sparked a firestorm, a controversy across this land when he gave that answer. The fact that Jesus Christ is the only place that could give him the forgiveness he needs to have the peace that he really says he desires to have. And I say amen to that. Jesus' name has the power and punch behind it to matter and what people say. No one says what in Allah's name is going on. But they sure use God's name. You ever heard anybody say that? Would you tell me what in Allah's name is going on? Because that has no sting to it. It's not against the God of this universe like it is when you put God's name there like that. No one ever texts or tweets or whatever you do today. I don't know what that junk is. But whatever you do, no one ever texts and says, OMB, oh my Buddha. Nobody ever says that. You know that? I mean, you just think about what's going on in our particular day. Again, now I believe that these facts prove that Christianity is the truth. You see, truth hurts, or truth literally helps. And truth will hurt if you rebel against it. Because truth is not going to change. And yet, on the other hand, truth will help us when we respond to it. Truth is never neutral at all in this life. No one ever tells an enemy to go to purgatory. You ever heard somebody say, an enemy now, so you get up and say, you go to purgatory. You don't hear nobody say that. But you know where they do, you know where they do tell you to go. You know why? There's a sting to that. Isn't it amazing they'll tell you to go somewhere they say they don't even believe in? Why will you tell someone to go somewhere or another they say they don't believe in it? You know what? They do believe in it, but they're trying to cover it up, make it like you think they don't. And when they get upset with someone, they use that term because there's a sting to it, you see. There's no jab found in that saying. There is no truth in a non-existent place. So when people tell others to go to hell, and that's what they say, there has no sting to it because simply that has a sting to it. Purgatory doesn't. But that hell has a sting to it because that is a real place, and it makes people cringe when it said that out of hatred or out of control. This is a place that they supposedly do not believe it exists, and yet they use it wildly. Let me give you four quick points about no other name. The first is simple this. God's name is a powerful name. I'm telling you, folks, it's a powerful name. For 2,000 years, even Jesus Christ's name has transformed alcoholics. It's purified prostitutes. It's made liars tell the truth. It's turned haters into lovers. It's turned wife beaters into decent men. It's made whoremongers faithful. It's cleaned up cursing mouths that look like a sewage. Even saved souls from hell that nothing else could do that, you say. I'm talking about the name of Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. The common thing about every other religious leader that has ever lived today is that they have lived, and if they're not alive today, they're dead. And I want you to know they've never been raised from the dead with the exception of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the one who came and died, not because they could kill him, but he gave his life, the Bible says, for you and I this side of eternity. The Christian serves a risen Savior. And let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ or the angels did not come and roll that stone away for him to get out. He could have got out with the stone still in place. The only reason that stone is raised, moved out of the scene so you and I could see he's not there. And started with the apostles when they went in there, Peter and John. You see, Jesus Christ didn't have to have the stone rolled away to be raised from the dead. How do you know that? In the Gospel of John, one day he just appeared in a room where the disciples were at. And they had no doubt it was stone hut, a mud hut and stuff like that they were in at that particular time. He just appeared. You say, how did he go? Did he go through the door? Yeah, he went through the door, the wall, the ceiling, somewhere or another because he just was there. Explain that away. Well, I'd be glad to get to heaven and see some things I've never seen before, won't you? Amen. The man thinks he's doing things nowadays. He ain't touched nothing. He ain't touched the hem of God, the garment of what God has in store for us when we get on the other side. And again, even at Christmas times, many will say his name who've never said it any other time of the year. I'm telling you, it's a powerful name. Philippians 2:10 and verse 11, 10 and 11 says, no one will escape that name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord for the glory of God. Man can laugh and mock, but they'll still do it one day because God had said so. That name, to speak his name in a way that we're not talking about him the way that we should be talking about him, to take his name in vain, and that is no honor in that. And God Almighty teaches us that there is a penalty for that. At the name of Jesus Christ, angels bow. At the name of Jesus Christ, demons tremble. At the name of Jesus Christ, Satan flees. He is no match for him, no matter what may be said or done. His name is holy. His name is powerful. His name is sacred. I'll tell you, when you talk about finances, you mention Donald Trump's name, it may open up doors for people who are looking for finances. You might go and look at, mention Albert Einstein's name for people who are thinking about intellectual brilliancy, because he certainly was one of those men. You might, someone think about Michelangelo, may open the doors for art if they want to study art. But I want you to know that it only the name of Jesus Christ can open the door of heaven for anyone. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they're from. There's no one else can do it except Him. And God has seen to it that way. In Jesus' name. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. Psalms 8, verse 1, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Psalm 25, verse 11, for Thy name's sake, pardon my iniquities. In Psalm 111, verse 9, He said, He sent redemption unto His people. I'm telling you, that name's a powerful name. You can spend a long time there. Number two, God's name is a holy name. We don't understand. It's used so loosely nowadays, it seems to be common. No one thinks much about it. Lisa, let me tell you, go back before the printing press. Go back when the scribes would copy the Word of God. And they would rise up from the work table and go wash and often change their clothes and pick up a new quill never used before just to write the name of Almighty God. That's how they reverence His name. They'd be writing out and come to a place of God's name. They'd get up and go wash themselves, change their clothes, change the quill, and would not use it to write it but one time. And then the next time His name showed up to write it, they did it again. They reverenced His name. Nowadays, people cuss Him. They would do it every time in respect and reverence to the name of God. What a terrible thing it is today to drag God's beautiful name through the muck mire sin of this world. The Word of God says that a good name is better than great riches. Proverbs 22:1. What comes to your mind when I say names such as this? For instance, give you an example. When I say to you, respond to me verbally, if you will. When I say to you, Judas, what comes to your mind? Traitor. When I say to you this morning, Thomas. Say it loud. Doubter. So the radio audience can hear you in a few minutes. No, I'm not here alone preaching the pews. As Brother Keith said the other day, it's about teaching to preach to people and there's the pews. Amen. Teach too, by the way. When I say to you a word like Hitler, what do you think of? Murderer. Yeah. When I say to you a word like George Washington, what one word do you think of? Kind of confused you there, didn't it? He said he never told a lie, so he's what? Honest. Of course, he might have lied about that. I don't know. That's his history. But we know him as being honest. We have no word to verify the fact that he didn't. He just had to take the record of that. But I say to you, what do you think about when you hear the name of God? Holy. And many others. By the way, there's some 300 names given to him in the scriptures. Every name. One name cannot describe him accurately. Prince, I'll give you just a few. It's impossible to capture the full character of God in any one of these names. In Genesis 22, He's called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. In Ezekiel 48, He's called Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. In Jeremiah 23, He's called Jehovah Sadan, the Lord our righteousness. In Exodus 6, He's called El Shaddai, the Lord is sufficient. In Exodus 15, He's called Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. In Exodus 17, He's called Jehovah Nisha, the Lord our victory. In Judges 6, He's called Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. In Genesis 14, He's called Jehovah Elam, the Most High God. Jesus, even in Matthew chapter 1, there's just something about that name. Amen? I'm telling you, when you call His name, every time it gives us something characteristic about Him that helps us. Jesus is the truth. He's the variety of love. He's the victory of grace. He's the visibility of God. His name is honey to the taste. It's harmony to the ear. It's healing to the soul. I'm talking about a name that's above every name. We hear His name as a Christian, little Christ, Christ-like. Christ is His messianic name. This is the Christ, the anointed one. John 1:4-1 says, as Andrew found his brother Simon, he said, we found the Messiah, which is interpret the Christ, which is the anointed one. I say to you, we wear His name as a Christian, little Christ or Christ-like. What a special privilege. Folks, God, help me to get across you. What a privilege for someone to call us a Christian if they see in our life something that's Christ-like. Amen. But what a responsibility for you and I who are saved. I'm telling you what, this world looks at us and says a lot of things about us, but we have a great responsibility to this world. So this is a powerful name. This is a very a holy name. Now, answer me this. Knowing that it's powerful and knowing that it's holy, number three, we're living in the most cursing generation of all human history. I'm telling you. You say people curse for it? Yeah, but not like they do today. Most people, even some Christians, do not think twice about using cursing words in any of their conversations. I bet when I said that, you thought of someone who you work with, said they were Christian, and you heard them cuss. Atheists claim not to believe in hell, yet use the word all the time. Some say they have no problem of going there. They don't really know what it's like. What a mockery of people today. Some words are the filthiest that you can say. Today these words have become so common, they don't even realize they're saying them as like they do. You know some people right now, they've done it so much it's routine, it just comes out. And there's reason for that. Primetime television is making many words as a way of expression. So the people hear it so much, it seems to be normal. You say, well, you ought not to say that. You ought not use God's name that way. And they've heard it 55,000 times in the last year, and it's become so normal. And when Satan lets you hear it, it kind of belittles it, which it has no power like it would have. Rap music is full of these words and much more. They say that the average R movie, and I looked this up recently, the average R movie has foul language in it every 32 seconds. That means there's two per minute. That means in a 45-minute time, you hear foul language 90-plus times. Also, a PG-13 and most sitcoms, they say, have a foul word every 1 to 2 minutes. A lot of this is pumped into the homes. TV makes it look okay. The preacher said, the Bible said, but wait a minute. The Hollywood star used it. Must be all right. Hey, I thought he said, and she said that they're Christians. They ain't been married but 15 times, but they're still Christians. You see what I'm saying, folks? It comes normal to us in this life because we hear it, and we hear it. And we're creatures of gradualism, and we hear it. If we don't keep our eyes and ears to hear it, if you're looking at something and you hear it, cut it off right then. Amen. Don't sit and look at it anymore. Amen. Because all it's doing is programming you away from God if you know the Lord and Savior. And again, cursing used to be a man-made language or a sailor language. Yeah. When I was a boy, 10 years ago, it was a sailor language. Talking about cussing like a sailor. Most of the time when you heard cursing when I was a boy, and by the way, that wasn't too many years ago. It seemed like 70 was a lot longer at 20 than what 20 is at 70. And what happens is, they say, some would say, they use cursing considered a man language or sailor, and when it was somebody would curse, you'd hear something like that. Someone would cry, watch your language! Ladies are present. You ever heard that? Watch your language, sir. There's children present. You don't hear that today. In fact, you hear some children curse more than the mother and dad. You ask some of the policemen that deal, especially the junior in an adolescent age. It's simply the way we have seen things go. Many teens are saying things today that would make sailors blush years ago. Teens cause a lot of parent trouble. And by the way, teenager, let me tell you something. God still says honor mother and dad. He still says it. And if it's not done, you will reap the consequence for it's over with. That's all there is to it. Even the loveliest name of all is taken in vain today. And that's Jesus in God's name. Not only do we see this cursing, but the fourth thing quickly. Cursing reveals four things. I've got 10 minutes to tell you what they are. The four things, the lack of character. It's a lack of intelligence. Right. It's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of reverence and respect towards God. Let me give you those four quickly. First of all, the lack of character. God's word says that out of the mouth speaks what is in thy heart. Jesus told us that in Matthew 15, 17 through 20. What's in the well will come up in the bucket when you draw it up. And what's in your heart will manifest itself if you put it in there. I'll tell you that. Sam Jones said years ago, and I quote, "When I get around a man who swears, I watch my pocketbook." He said, "For a man who would swear would steal," unquote. So there's a lack of character. The second one is the lack of intelligence. To use profanity to get your point across is to reveal an empty head and a wicked heart. "Well, not me, preacher, I'm saved." Then don't use those words. Because it shows something, you see. Profanity is the attempt of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. Since we have no enough intelligence to go any further understanding, we try to grasp something to make us more authority over someone else and use profanity forcefully. That's the reason in our society today it's used so much for everybody to hear, because everybody's trying to force themselves over someone else. I mean, simply. The third thing, the lack of understanding. Could I ask the question, what does using a curse word do to express oneself? What do you get in return for using a curse word? Now, don't misunderstand me. With most sins, you at least get something. A thief who steals gets something. I'm not promoting stealing. God said, "Thou shalt not." I'm just using an example. There are some things that people do that's wrong that at least they get something. What I'm saying to you, it's a matter of understanding. Stealing is wrong, but at least you get something. This is not justifying sin. This is making a point. You have a flat tire and you curse. Cursing don't put air in the tire. Cursing don't change the tire. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? You thought it'd help out. Well, let's say you knew you were someone who thought it would help out. Amen. When you think about that, if the hot air that came out of one's mouth could put air in the tire, you'd at least have something. At least you'd get a result. Can cursing help you when you stub your toe? Pain's still there. Can cursing help you as you move the golf ball out of the rough back on the fairway? Can cursing help you if you get it out of the pond and put it back on the green? It don't help you a bit. What does one earn? Can cursing help when one breaks a window or hits your finger with a hammer? What does one earn by cursing? Not a thing. Oh, yeah, just one thing, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me, the judgment of God. Because God declared it not to be so. Exodus 27 says, and I quote, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless." And then, of course, the fourth one, lack of reverence and respect. Someone uses God's name in vain, and then they say something like this, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean that." Have you ever heard that? Or am I older than most of you here? I didn't really mean that. Now, what they're saying, listen to me, what they're saying, God is meaningless to me. I can use his name and don't even mean it. And because you're kind of off the wall religiously, I understand. So, I'll just say, "I didn't really mean it." As if God has nothing to do about what they do. He's meaningless in our life. I can use his name and not even mean it. And this is what the word vain means. It means empty or meaningless. We use his name at random. And God says it's in vain. When I come to him to worship him, I can use his name in a way that honors God. But when I use it as a sling out here in this world because of something that took place, God says it's in vain. It's not bringing honor to him at all. I'm talking about no other name. I'm talking about that this morning. It's a lack of reverence to God to use it in the right way. It's a lack of respect to others around us to use it in the right way. It's disreverence to God to use it in the wrong way and in vain. And by the way, anyone who uses God's name in vain uses it as not respecting to others that are around. Isn't it an amazing thing? Person who uses God's name in vain, you say, "Sir, please don't, ma'am, please don't do that." used to be sir all the time. Now you may have to say ma'am once in a while. And you say that, and suddenly it looks like you have become their worst enemy. You telling me what not to do? You tell me what not to say? Once they say that, you just might as well walk away. Might as well walk away. Britt Hume's advice to Tiger Woods was good advice, folks.
Amen.
What a testimony it would be. Hear me, last thought. I'm talking about no other name. What a testimony it would be if Tiger Woods or someone like him would give their heart to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But if they don't, what a testimony this morning it would be to you if you have not given your heart to Jesus to do it today. You see what I'm saying? There's no other name. You can bow now and receive Christ and believe the record that God has given His Son according to 1 John 5 and in so become a child of God, birthed into the family of God. And it means everything in the world to God. Honor Him, praise Him, and in turn serve Him until God calls us home. Or you can rebel against it, and in so doing, one day you will bow and you will confess it. If you don't believe it, go look at Philippians and see. And you will confess it, but it won't mean a thing in this world to you except God got honor out of you by making you do it. It's too late. So I say to you, loving heart, Jesus loves you. There's some of you hear this in a few minutes on the radio. Jesus loves you. Christ came and died for you. And I go back to Acts 4:12 again. There's another name given among men under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. You here this morning and listen to my radio who are saved, rejoice in the fact that you obey God and gave Christ your heart, best you knew how. And you claim the promise. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you call on His name, Romans 10:13. God kept His word because Titus 1:2 says He cannot lie. That's the promise. If you hadn't done that, there's nothing. I mean absolutely nothing that keeps you from doing that except Satan himself. My Father, I thank You again this morning, Lord, for these people who come and give their time, said here at this place, dear Father, and here not only the teaching in Sunday school this morning, but also, my Father, hear the I pray that You will touch someone's heart. Let us leave this place today. Not with arrogance. That's not what messages like this does to this world. We need to show love. And we hear someone who uses God's name in vain. If we say can't say anything else, say, sir, ma'am, I want you to know and pray for you. To me, that name is precious. It's the most precious thing other than my in my life is that name. Father, I pray today we'd understand there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus said God gave Him authority in Matthew 28 when He gave the Great Commission. All authority has been given unto Him, and He's the one who tells us, gives us our instructions. He has the authority to do so. And once we obey You, we have the authority from Him, from You, to tell this world about Jesus Christ. It may cause us to have to give our life, but we do have that right. And I want to thank You this morning, Lord, for our nation foundation set up a system where it would give that right, though we're about to lose that today. We thank You for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.